Well, good morning.
If you would, for our scripture reading, let's begin our service opening our Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 20. We have a lengthy reading. We'll read the first 30 verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and then we'll bow in prayer. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And they began to sing and to praise the, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one to help destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, They found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great God, our holy, sovereign, wise Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thank you that one more time you've given us this opportunity to hear your gospel preached. Father, I pray that you would bless your word in a powerful way this morning. Bless your word to your glory. Bless your word to the hearts of your people, Father. Enable us to see the glory, the power, the sufficiency of Christ our Savior, and cause our hearts and souls to rest, to find rest and peace and quiet in a full and free salvation that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all the many, many blessings that you've so freely bestowed upon your people. Every spiritual blessing that we need to stand accepted before thee, you've given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. You've given us mercy, grace. You've given us righteousness and forgiveness and sanctification, peace. You've given us preservation, all in our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood and his obedience. And Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for all the many material blessings that you've given us in this life. We do not have to look very far every day to see it's true. The Lord will provide. And Father, we're thankful. And Father, we ask at this time that you would be with your people in a special way here in times of trouble and heartache and sorrow. We pray a special blessing for our sister Joyce Brown, Father, that you comfort her heart this time of loss. We're so thankful for the years that you've given us our brother Carter and the blessing he's been to so many of us all these many years and the faithfulness that you've given to him. And Father, we're thankful that you've called him home, called him out of this body of sin and pain and suffering, out of this world of sin, and called him to be with thee. Father, we're thankful. But we're heartbroken, those who are left behind. We pray a special blessing on Joyce, that you comfort her heart, that you be with her in a special way, Father, we pray. Your other people who are sick and suffering and sorrowing, you know the needs of your people. Father, we pray you'd meet them according to the riches of your mercy and grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for our world at going through this great difficulty, this virus, Father, we pray that you would move in a powerful way to heal the land, to heal your people, and preserve and protect your people. Make it possible that we can meet together again face to face and worship thee. Father, we're thankful for this technology, but Father, enable us to meet together face to face. Be with our leaders, that you give them wisdom, the doctors and nurses that treat those who are ill. Father, give them wisdom and strength for the job that you've laid upon their shoulders. All these things we ask and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the Lord brought this scripture to my mind at this time of this pandemic. I know there is a lot of concern about our health right now. As well, there should be. We should be taking some care in this matter. Janet told me years ago that God has given us a body and a mind to take care of it, and we ought to use it that way. Let's use the wisdom that God's given us and take the prudent, proper precautions for our safety at this time. We should limit social contact. We should use social distancing. We should wash our hands, and as Brother Eric Floyd so eloquently put it, don't pick your nose. We ought to do those things. Do what you can to protect yourself. But now listen. Listen to me. Let your hope and your peace and your confidence be in the Lord. Now this is true. Our God is in control today, just as much as He's always has been. Don't let your confidence, wash your hands, but don't let your confidence be in your hand washing. Let your rest be in this, our God's sovereign. Our God's sovereign. They say, and rightfully so, that we're fighting an invisible enemy right now, this virus. But you know what? The Lord's in control of that virus. It's not invisible to Him. The Lord's in control of where that virus goes and where it doesn't go, what it does and what it does not do. And faith bows to the Lord's will in this matter of this virus, just like it does in all things. If the Lord prevents us, you and me, from getting this virus, well, it's right and it's good that He did it, and all He's doing in keeping us from getting it is accomplishing His eternal purpose. And if the Lord gives us this virus and we get sick from it, it's just as right and just as good that God did it, and God's accomplishing His eternal purpose in giving it to us. It won't be an accident if one of us gets this virus, or many of us get this virus. So we should take every precaution that the medical community tells us that we ought to be taking. Be careful, but don't be panicked. Be careful, be wise, but don't be panicked, because you know that the Lord is in control. I'd a whole lot rather have my rest be in the Lord than in my hand washing and social distancing, wouldn't you? Now, do I have scripture for that? Yes, I do. Hold your finger there in 2 Chronicles. Look with me at the book of Philippians. I have scripture for this. Book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, let your kindness, your gentleness, your faithfulness, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now that word careful there means anxious. Don't be overly anxious. Don't be panicked. Be panicked about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, be careful. Now be careful and be prayerful, but don't be overly anxious. Don't be panicked. Why not? Because our God's in control. He's in control of this. He'll comfort the hearts of His people. Now that is good advice for God's people. But my job is to preach the gospel to you, not just give you good advice. So from the story that we read here in 2 Chronicles 20, can I preach the gospel from this? Well, I believe I can. I believe God's given me a message for you this morning. I've entitled the message, "The Battle Is Not Yours." The battle is not yours. That's true in this matter of this virus, and it's especially true in the matter of salvation. The battle is not yours, but God's. Now, you and I are indeed fighting an invisible enemy. Our invisible enemy that all of us are fighting is sin. And it will kill every last one of us. Sin has a 100% kill rate. And you and I can hope to escape this virus. Maybe we can hope to escape catching this virus. We can hope to, you know, survive it if we do. But you and I cannot escape death by sin. No amount of washing in religious ceremony can cleanse you of your sin. No amount of partaking in religious ceremony, religious thought, can cleanse you of your sin. No amount of social distancing, no amount of separating yourself from this world will save you from sin. Because my friend, sin is in you, not in the world. I mean, it is in the world, but your problem, my problem, sin's in me, sin's in you. No amount of social distancing from the world will save us from sin. The only hope you and I have of salvation from our sin, the only hope we have of being given life from the dead, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who I want to preach to you this morning. The good news of the gospel is the battle against sin is not yours, but God's. And my friend, the battle's over. You will be saved if you do nothing except depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's given to us in a picture in our text this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now you're very familiar with this story. Bad news arrives. Bad news arrives at your doorstep or on the 6 o'clock evening news. What's the first thing we do? The first thing, do we try to figure out some brilliant plan to be able to escape from this bad situation we're in? We're going to first try to save ourselves by the strength of the flesh. That's not what Jehoshaphat did, is it? Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord, to fervently and seriously seek the Lord. He sought help from the Lord. He sought guidance from the Lord. Lord, what should I do? And he sought deliverance from the Lord. Lord, deliver us from this enemy. And Jehoshaphat's a wise leader. He first set himself to seek the Lord, but then he called all the people of Judah. You fast and you seek the Lord too. And they all came together with their families, and they came standing in front of the temple seeking the Lord, seeking help from the Lord, deliverance from the Lord. Now you got the picture there in your mind? Here's all the people of Judah, their families, mothers and fathers, little ones, grandfathers, grandmothers, all standing as mercy beggars, hat in hand before the temple, begging for a handout of God's mercy. There they stand, unable to do anything for themselves. All they can do is wait on the Lord to show mercy. They're there showing their complete and utter dependence upon God's mercy, waiting to see what God will be pleased to do. And they're all gathered together. Jehoshaphat leads the people in prayer. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever?" Now there are many things Jehoshaphat did not know at this time. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know if his enemy was going to overrun the city and kill all the people or not. He had no idea why this was happening. He didn't know why this great army who could conquer them easily was all gathered there. He didn't know why the Lord allowed that to happen. He didn't know if they would be delivered or how they would be delivered. And don't we often feel that way? You feel that way right now? You've got no idea what's going on. Why is this happening? Why did the Lord allow this to happen? We don't know. When we find ourselves in that situation, we don't know. Tell you where we start. Let's start with what we do know. Here's what I do know. Almighty God is sovereign. And Jehoshaphat began his prayer giving thanks that God's sovereign. He knows, and I don't know a lot, but I do know this, God's sovereign. David told us the Lord reigneth. God's sovereign. Let the earth rejoice. Well, I don't know about everybody on earth, but I'm going to rejoice, aren't you? God's sovereign. I find comfort in the fact that God is sovereign. He is able to deliver us, and whatever happens, it's not something that's against God's will and God's purpose, because God's sovereign. And this sovereign is our God. Oh, that's so comforting. He's our God. He's our God because he's made himself our God. He made his people to be his in God's covenant of grace. And this is what Jehoshaphat is praying. Lord, we're coming to you because you're our God. The best example that I can think of is a little child. A little child comes up and they've skinned their knee. They've fallen down, they've skinned their knee, they skinned their hands up, they've fallen on the concrete or something. They come in running. And, you know, there could be their aunt and uncle there. This happened to my little nieces and nephews. They come in, Jan and I are sitting there, and other people might be sitting there, but who's that baby looking for? Mama. I want, and you could try to go help them, but they don't really want you. Where's my mama? I want my mama. Not just any mother,
I want my mama. Since she's my mama, she's going to take care of me. She's going to love me. I'm going to feel her tender touch. That's what Jehoshaphat's saying here. I'm crying to our God, to my Father. We cry to my Father. We're not just crying to an austere, severe king who's sovereign upon a throne. We're crying to our Father for mercy and grace and help. We're crying to our sovereign Father for mercy and grace and help. That's what he's doing. Now read on verse 8. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now Jehoshaphat here is not asking God to, Lord, protect us because we built you this glorious temple. He's not asking for merit. He's asking for mercy. And when he's asking for mercy, he's pleading God's own word. If you look back a few pages, 2 Chronicles 7, in verse 12, this is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. And this is what he said then. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now stop right there. Notice, if the heavens shut up and there's no rain, or the locusts come to devour the land, or I send pestilence, I send a virus among my people, where'd it come from? God sent it, didn't he? That's what he said there. I did those things. Verse 14, read on. If my people, when this happens, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And this is what Jehoshaphat's saying. Lord, you said you'd hear the prayer of your people in this house. So we're doing what you said. We've come here and we're crying to you for help. And the significance of that building is that building, the temple, is a picture of Christ. The people of Judah ran to the temple. They ran to that type of Christ to find mercy there because that's where it's found. You and I have something much, much better today. We don't have to run to a building that may be closed to the public. We run to Christ himself. We're not running to the picture. We run to Christ himself to find mercy, to find salvation from our sin. That's so much better, isn't it? Now read on back in our text, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Now, he says, Lord, these enemies surrounding us, they're giving us evil when you did them good. Now, we know that the Lord hadn't brought us this far to perish. The Lord did not deliver Israel from Egypt just so they could go out in the wilderness and die of hunger or die of thirst. The Lord did not deliver Israel from the hand of Pharaoh, just so Pharaoh could destroy them at the Red Sea. And the same thing's true now. God's not going to destroy his people. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And here's their cry, O Lord, won't you help us? We're helpless and hopeless by nature. We need thy strength or we'll surely fail. Now, by nature, we are so ignorant. We don't know which way to turn. By nature, we're so ignorant. We don't know which way is up. Lord, we need thy wisdom. In the worst way, we need thy wisdom. Isn't that what wise Solomon did?
Solomon told God, I don't know. Here he is supposed to be the king. He said, I'm not able to be the king. I don't know how to go in or come out. I don't even know how to come in out of the rain. Lord, I need wisdom. And that's what God gave him. He gave him wisdom, didn't he? That's what you and I need. We need wisdom. We need Christ, who is the wisdom of God. If we have Christ, who is the wisdom of God, we'll see how God's going to deliver his people from their sin. We need wisdom. But we can't deliver this from, you know, we can't save ourselves. This is what Jehoshaphat's saying. Lord, we don't have any power. We don't have any allies to help us. I don't have a plan. I don't have a plan how I'm going to deliver myself and our wives and our children, our little ones, with the arm of the flesh. I've got no plan but depending on thee. Lord, our eyes are waiting on thee in humble submission. Now, Jehoshaphat's wise in this. He put all the responsibility on God. And now he's looking to him. Lord, I don't know what to do, but you do. And whatever it is you're going to do, I know this, it's right. So our eye is looking to thee in total dependence. And that should be our attitude at all times about everything. Why does that suddenly become our attitude when there's a virus? But when the economy's good and the stock market's good and the unemployment's low, we seem to forget that. This should be our attitude about all things at all times. Lord, we're completely dependent upon you, looking to you to do everything that we need. Now, that's a good prayer. That prayer is a good sermon outline. It begins acknowledging who God is and who we are. God's sovereign. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's exactly what he did. In heaven, in the earth, in the seas, and all deep places. And it's pleased God to sovereignly choose a people. And he's given them an inheritance. Now, the inheritance he gave the people here was the land of Israel, the promised land. But the inheritance that God has given his people is something a whole lot better than a land over there in the Middle East. The inheritance that God has given his people is his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's sovereignly given that to his people. And who are we? We're nothing. We're sinners. We're nothing. We're nobody from nowhere. We're no nothings. But by God's grace, we know one thing. We know we're nothing. I guess the second thing we know is this. Christ is everything. I know I'm nothing and Christ is everything. He's all I need. He's everything that I need. And our eyes are on him. We're completely dependent on him to save us. If he doesn't save us, we won't be saved. Now, verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite to the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Now as soon as this prayer ended, God gave an answer. Now you already know this from your experience. The Lord does not always answer prayer this quickly. But you and I, God's people, never seek the Lord in vain. Never. The Lord will answer in due time. And here the Lord answered immediately. The Holy Spirit came upon this man, Jehaziel. Now he's got something to say. Now he's got something that's worth listening to because the Holy Spirit's come upon him and given him a message. And here's his message. All you people of God, you listen. Thus saith the Lord to you. Oh boy. That ought to get our attention, shouldn't it? Thus saith the Lord to you. This is God's message to his people. Don't be afraid of this great multitude that's come to attack you. Don't be dismayed because the multitude is so large. Don't be dismayed because you're outnumbered and you've got no ability. The battle's not yours anyway, but God's. The Lord is going to fight this battle for you. Now stop and think about that for a minute. The Lord's going to fight this battle for you. What's the outcome going to be? Well, the Lord's going to win, isn't he? The Lord's going to take this battle up. He's going to fight. He's going to win the battle. Then we've got nothing to fear. This silent enemy that we're talking about this morning is the multitude of our sin. Our sins are a multitude you and I cannot count. Our sins are so many. David said, my sins are ever before me. My sins are everywhere I look. They're a multitude. And every individual one of
of those sins and that multitude, every individual one of them is a killer. They're an assassin. All of my sins are too powerful for me. Just one of them killed me. Just one of them is a deadly assassin killed me. I can't even put one of those sins away. I can't even deal with one of them, much less a multitude. We're just like the people of Israel here. I've got no power against the multitude of my sins that's come against me. I can't put one of them away. I can't pay for even one of those sins. I can't wash myself from the stain of sin. I can't take away the guilt of my sin. I can't even quit sinning. I mean, everything I do just keeps adding to the multitude. I can't quit sinning because I've got a nature that loves sin. That's what my flesh does. It loves sin and it makes me powerless against sin. And I've got no idea what to do. And then God sends his messenger and says, "Thus saith the Lord to thee." Here's the message of God to his people. Look to Christ. Turn your eyes to Christ and wait on him. Because the battle's not yours, but God's. God Almighty took this battle against the sin of his people upon himself. The Father, he sent his Son. The Father elected a people to save. Just like he gave the land to Israel, the Father's elected a people to save. But now there's a multitude of their sins against him. And the Father sent his Son, clothed in human flesh, to be the representative of his people. He sent his Son as a man, made of a woman, made under the law, to put away the sin of his people by the sacrifice of himself. And brother, I'm here to tell you, he got the job done. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to try to do anything. He came as the mighty conqueror, and he put away the sin of all of his people. So don't you be afraid. Don't you be dismayed by reason of the multitude of your sin. The battle's not yours, but God's. He has already won the victory over the sin of his people. Now the battle's over. The battle is over. Though your sins be as scarlet, though the multitudes that be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. The multitude of your sin put away under the blood of Christ. He fought the battle. The battle's over. Now don't be dismayed. You rest in him. Rest in him. Then we have another enemy, Satan. He's closely associated with our sin. He's the accuser of the brethren. Satan takes the actions, the sin of God's people, and he accuses them with it. Now, this is a mighty enemy. Don't try to tackle this enemy on your own. No need to. The battle's not yours, but God's. At Calvary, Satan was defeated. Satan was defeated the same place the sin of God's elect was put away. Now, at Calvary, the battle raged. Satan did indeed bruise the heel of the Savior, just like God prophesied that he would. But while he was crushing the heel of the Savior, our Redeemer, the mighty conqueror, he crushed the head of Satan. He crushed his power. Now, the battle's not yours, but God's. See, the battle's already been fought. Christ fought the battle and he won the battle. The Lord Jesus Christ came, he saw, and he conquered. Now you rest in Christ. Well, what about Satan? Satan's real. He hasn't been put away yet. He's still the accuser of the brethren. Well, that's all right. Because Christ the Savior has defeated Satan. He crushed his head. He took away Satan's power by taking away the sin of God's elect. So when Satan makes an accusation against God's people, God says, "What sin? I don't see any sin. It's all been put away under the blood of Christ. I see nothing here that draws my condemnation, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." The battle's his, and he won it. Now you rest. Just rest. Don't be over anxious. Rest. Rest from all your works of religion. Rest from trying to make God happy with you. And rest in Christ, because the battle's over. The victory's won. And that's just exactly what Jehaziel told the people. The battle's over. Tomorrow you just go out and watch the Lord's victory. Verse 16. He says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they came up by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle.
set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now the battle must be fought, but you and I, we're just spectators to the battle. We're just witnesses to the victory of our Lord. We have no need to join in this battle against our enemies, sin and Satan. As a matter of fact, our participation is forbidden, isn't it? The battle is well in hand, because the battle is God's. Now, we're not to join this battle against our sin, but we're told to set ourselves. Set yourself. And do not give an inch. You set yourself in Christ. You set yourself to rest in Christ and don't give an inch and go back under the law in any way. Just stand still. How many times does Scripture tell us, be still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're not going to need to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours, but God's. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, don't fear. Don't be discouraged and don't panic. Why not? The battle is going to be raging. Why shouldn't I panic? Because the Lord will be with you. That's His promise. The Lord will be with you. How much more encouragement can we get? The Lord will be with you. Now, you see how all this is a picture of the gospel that we preach. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is entirely in Christ. Christ has done all the work of righteousness. Christ has come and defeated every enemy. And this salvation, this great salvation, Christ gives to sinner freely. He gives it to His people freely. You can only receive this salvation if you receive it freely, by not contributing even some of your own works or some of your own righteousness. If you just stand still, you'll see the salvation of the Lord, because the battle is not yours, but God's. That's good news, isn't it? I can tell you how a believer reacts to that. Look at verse 18. Jehoshaphat, he heard that, and he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. This is the believer's reaction. Oh, it's relief in belief. The battle's not yours, but God's. The battle's over. The victory's been won. And we bow in reverence and worship, thanksgiving and praise. Now the next day, verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe His prophets. So shall ye prosper." Now Jehoshaphat's a good leader. He's a picture of a pastor here. On his way to the place Jehaziel told them to go, he stops. And what does he do? He preaches the same message they heard yesterday. He reminds everyone, you believe in the Lord your God. Believe Him. Rest in Him. We can't be told too many times to believe on Christ, can we? We can't be told too many times, now you rest. Stop. Stand still and rest in Christ. There's a battle, but don't you plan on fighting in this battle. You just rest in Christ. You believe God and all will be well, because the battle's not yours, but God's. Now you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you keep believing. Don't plan on, at some point, thinking you've grown enough, you can start adding some of your righteousness in on this thing. Don't think eventually you're going to grow strong enough, you can help God out a little bit. No, you just rest in Christ alone. You rely on Christ, and God will accept you. You'll be accepted in Him. If you believe in the Lord your God, you believe in Christ, you'll be established. You'll be built up, you'll be supported, you'll be strengthened. You know how? By the same message God used to save you in the first place. Just repeating this message over and over and over again, the battle's not yours, but God's. Now you rest. You rest in Him. You rest in Him. If you start trying to add any of your own righteousness to this thing at any point along the way, you're going to be building on sinking sand. You're going to find nothing but weakness and decay and defeat in yourself. But you trust Christ, you'll have nothing but victory, because He has won the victory over all His enemies. And here's a picture of it beginning in verse 21. And when they had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Jehoshaphat was absolutely certain the Lord would have the victory. You know how I know that? Did you notice how he sent the army, or he sent the singers first? He didn't send the army first, did he? He sent the singers first. The army wasn't going to be needed. He sent singers first praising the Lord because the battle is not yours, but God's. And they went singing the church's favorite chorus. I don't know how many times this is repeated in Scripture, praise the Lord. His mercy forever. Jehoshaphat was so confident. He believed God so strongly, he was singing God's praises. He was singing God's praises for his deliverance before he ever received one blessing from God. Because he was sure they were coming, because God promised him. That's believing God. Now you rest in him. That's what we'll do if we really believe the battle's not ours, but God's. Amen. Now verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Here's another one of these stories that we love. How God gave his people the victory, and they never even fired a shot. God miraculously defeated the enemy by confusing them, making them kill one another. And by the time Israel got there, there's this huge host. They're already laying dead. They were already defeated before God's people even got there. Now that's the gospel. That's the way God's people hear the gospel. That's generally speaking, that's our story of grace. First, we come under conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, and it scares us out of our wits. We're scared of the multitude of our sin. We're horrified at our sin nature. We're terrified of the destruction that's come. Judgment is coming. Justice is coming. God's going to destroy me, and that's exactly what I deserve because of my sin. And then God sends his preacher saying, don't fear. Fear not, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us about the battle to put away our sin. It's not ours, but God's. The battle to put away our sin has already been fought. It's been fought by Christ himself, the captain of our salvation. He's already fought the battle, and he's won it. The battle's not yours, but God's. Now you rest. You believe on him. And when we believe, we see it. The multitude of our sin has already been covered by the precious blood of our Savior. There's no enemy left. There's therefore now no condemnation left to them which believe in Christ Jesus, because he's put their sin away. In verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. They received greater blessing than they even asked for. All they asked for is they'd be delivered, they'd be spared, and God made them rich too. Gave them more blessing, more riches, more spoil than they could carry away. So they could say with David, my cup runneth over. They found rich, beautiful garments. Pictures of the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that he gives his people. They found gold and silver and precious jewels. They found all those things which are pictures of Christ. Pictures of his beauty that he gives to his people. It's his beauty which he puts upon his people. This is a picture of what every believer has. Every believer already has the most precious jewel of all. Christ, the pearl of great price. And God's blessings to his people, they always produce thanksgiving. Verse 26, on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Baraka unto this day. Oh, they blessed God. Right, they didn't wait till they got back home. Right then and there they blessed God. But it didn't stop there. That kept going. When they went back home, remember how this all started, standing there before the temple, standing there before that picture of Christ? They went back to that same place. blessing and thanking God. Verse 27. Then they returned, every man of Judah and every man of Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. They came back. They began begging for mercy, and they came back thanking God for his mercy. That's the natural reaction of the heart of a believer. Thank God for his mercy. And then there's one last thing that comes when Christ fights our battle for us. When the battle is not yours but the Lord's, this is always the outcome. It's peace. Verse 29. And fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. God's victories are always so complete that Christ winning the battle means he's won the whole war. Christ winning the battle ends the whole war, and there's peace. No more rebellious uprisings of the enemies of Christ. He's put them all away. Christ, our Redeemer, has made peace for his people through the blood of his cross. See, the battle's not yours. The battle for peace is not yours. It's God's. Now you rest in him. Give thanks. Give thanks. And rest in Christ. Believe on him. And oh, I pray God give us the faith to rest in Christ. Because the battle's not ours, but God's. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for this precious portion of your word. And Father, I pray that you'd apply the message of it to the hearts of your people. The battle's not ours, but God's. Cause us to rejoice in Christ our Savior. Cause us to rest in him. Cause us to have no spiritual anxiety, no worry whatsoever. The battle's not ours, but God's. He's put away the sin of his people. And whatever happens between now and eternity, we know the end of the story. Because the battle's not ours, but God's. He will give his people the ultimate glorification, the ultimate end of their salvation. Because he's won the battle against the sin of his people. Father, cause us to have rest and joy and peace in Christ our Savior. And as much as it's possible, deliver our hearts from anxiety and panic over what's going on in our world right now, because our God's in control. He's in control of all things, and we're thankful. Oh God, apply your word to our hearts. Give us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name that we pray and give thanks.